You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Give and go action. Giannis thumps it down on the dime from Grayson Allen, and the Bucks lead by 8. Takes it into the paint, feeds it off to Giannis. Giannis, between all the defenders, will throw it down with another one-hand slam.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
112-98, the Bucks taking down the Washington Wizards behind a big run of 17-2 in the final stretch.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, do you feel any better about the Milwaukee Bucks after tonight's performance? Because 10 minutes into the game, 8 minutes into the game, I think we all felt pretty good and said, all right, this is exactly what I expected to see from this team. You got the sense that it was much like when you're a teenager and your parents sit you down and have the hard conversation with you of what's going on. You're better than this. We expect more from you. Do you have it out of your system? Can we move forward? You got the sense that was basically the conversation Coach Bud and the rest of the coaching staff had with this team in the last couple of days. We heard they practiced quite a bit, something that's tough to come by during the regular season. And in the opening minutes of the game, you could see this was a team that looked like they may have gotten a tongue lashing, and the message was certainly received. It looked as though the Bucks were headed towards maybe a 20-point victory. And then the Bucks just started to do the things we've seen creep up there the last couple of games, and especially in that third quarter, where once again, the Bucks lose the third quarter. Third quarter had been the biggest problem issue during the month of January and during most of the Bucks' losses this season. It wasn't quite as bad as we've seen some of those third quarter performances, but 33-25, they're outscored in that third quarter. What was a 13-point halftime lead all of a sudden becomes a 5-point game. And in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, that 5-point lead is gone, and the Wizards take their first lead of the game. Ultimately, the Bucks prevail. A lot of that had to do with the play of Giannis, who registers his fourth triple-double of the season. Jrue Holiday hit some big shots. Chris Middleton hit a big shot. And Giannis just appeared to take over this game. But did the Bucks do enough? If you enter this game concerned, how much of those concerns have evaporated after seeing them struggle for most of the final few minutes of this game to put away the Washington Wizards? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. A better way to phrase that question: at this point, the Bucks are 11 games above 500. Are you more concerned or frustrated with how these 50-plus games have gone this season? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us tonight on the program on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. So the Bucks do get that win tonight. As we just mentioned on the NBA scoreboard on the postgame show, look, the other good news, the Miami Heat lost. So the Eastern Conference remains extremely perplexing here when you look at the separation or lack thereof at the top. The Chicago Bulls, the 76ers, and the Heat are 1-3 right now. Now, I didn't pull the exact standings that I predicted, Greg, but it was on this show. How long ago was that? Mid-December, I believe it was, where it was one of these stretches where the Bucks were struggling once again. And I said, look, I know it's frustrating. I know they just had the 8-game win streak where they looked like, here come the Bucks once again. And then they lost a couple of tough games. Let's not jump to conclusions here. By the time we get to February 1st, the Bucks will be in first place, and here's how the Eastern Conference will look. Now, I haven't listened to it. I know I did say pretty confidently the Bucks will be in first, but we'll replay that for you just to see how inaccurate I was. Because, look, the Bucks are not in first. Not only are they not in first, they wouldn't have home court advantage in the playoff series if the season were to end today. But it's just perplexing to see Bulls, Sixers, Heat is your 1-3. Cavs are fourth. Then you have the Bucks, and then the Brooklyn Nets. The Bucks and the Nets are 5-6 right now in the Eastern Conference. For all of the doom and gloom and the panic and the what's wrong with the Bucks, yes, you can point to injuries with the Brooklyn Nets. You can point to the vaccine as well. But the Nets are a game back of the Bucks right now, pending the result that happens in Phoenix. If they lose that, Brooklyn's three games back. But let's stop right there. Even still, we are talking about three games in the case of the Nets. We're talking about a game and a half in the case of the Bucks. Consistency may have evaded both of these teams so far this season, but it's a game and a half that we're talking about. It is two games right now separating the Bucks and the Sixers in the loss column. Three games separating the Bucks and the Bulls. I understand the concern that remains out there. And look, tonight didn't do a whole lot to erase any levels of concern, but they won. And you got to get one at a time. This upcoming road trip to me is going to tell me quite a bit about this team for reasons we'll get to in just a little bit on the show. But again, the number to get in touch with us tonight, 855-616-1620. Are you more worried, concerned, or frustrated by what you've seen from the Bucks now? 53 games into the season. There are only 29 games left on the NBA schedule for this Bucks team. More panic or more frustration? We'll get your thoughts. We'll replay my predictions and see how poorly and how bad they went in just a couple of moments here. And we'll preview this upcoming four-game road trip as well and why this is an important stretch of games for the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll explain after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Down with a left hand.
I don't think I've ever seen the strategy of leave Giannis alone to go for the dunk that Spencer did when he just did right there.
Not advisable unless you're trying to avoid
you're literally part of the red
sea.
Yeah, it was a bold strategy, Cotton, and it did not work out for Wes Unseld Jr. or his Washington Wizards. We saw the rage from Giannis. You saw at times tonight, number one, Giannis saying, we are not losing this game. I am taking control of the game. I will single-handedly win this game for us if that's what it requires. He scored 13 of his 33 in the fourth quarter and was 5 of 6 from the field in that quarter. 13 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists in the quarter for Giannis when it mattered most, when his team needed it most. And the Wizards just had no answer. I think at the beginning of the game, Giannis did not hit his first field goal until a minute into the second quarter. At the beginning of the game, we saw a lot of ball movement. We saw Giannis at the front of that, moving the ball around, making the extra pass. It was almost as though this team had been given the message of no more isolation, no more hero ball, no more settling up for mid-range and pull-up jumpers. Move the ball around. Do what we did most of last year. Do what we were doing earlier this season that got the offense moving, that led us to a much better record and a much better spot in the conference than we find ourselves now. And Giannis, look, I'm not going to say it came with the motivation that we saw Kobe Bryant do in situations similar to this, where you remember back, what, 20 years ago? 15 years ago? When Kobe Bryant's teammates infamously with the Lakers complained, hey, this guy's not passing us the ball. And Kobe Bryant, it was what, in the 2009 finals, I think, said, okay, fine. I will do nothing but pass in this game, and we'll see where the offense is going to come from. I'm not saying it was that drastic, but at times in the first quarter, it felt like Giannis was saying, okay, you want us to pass it more? I'll do nothing but pass. And that's what we saw in the first few minutes of the game. His stat line in the opening quarter, 0 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, did take 2 field goals, and they were both 3-pointers. But in the fourth quarter again, he just said enough, took it to the basket, and realized there's nobody on this Wizards defense that can slow me down. The laughable attempt we heard there from Spencer Dinwiddie coming back from the break, Montrezl Harrell getting into it with Giannis, Rui Hachimura, mistaken identity, it seemed like, at one point late in the fourth quarter where Giannis came away with a dunk. He was fouled by Spencer Dinwiddie, wasn't called, and we saw Giannis shove Rui Hachimura after the dunk just because he was standing in front of him. But really, that flagrant foul is what turned this game around, that it was still a Bucks lead but it wasn't quite comfortable yet. And then the flagrant foul occurs. Giannis goes perfect at the free throw line. And again, oh, by the way, Giannis continues to be a really good free throw shooter, not only this season, not only this month. This dates back to the playoffs last year. It's not even a conversation anymore. We're not even talking about, man, if only Giannis could, you know, shoot a couple of percentage points higher. If only Giannis could do this. We're not even having that conversation anymore. He's quelled those concerns. And tonight for Giannis, 5 of 5 at the free throw line. So he was shooting close to 80% in the month of January. He was shooting close to 75% for the season as a whole. Well, I'll do you one better, Greg. He is shooting 100% at the free throw line in the month of February now. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Are you more concerned or more frustrated by these 53 games we've seen from the Bucks so far this season? We did not do this on Sunday because when you lose by 36 points and have an ugly performance on both ends of the floor, it's really tough to find a statistic that isn't pro-opponent. But we do have a stat of the game tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment. But again, that number, 855-616-1620, if you want to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. Okay, we took a game off. The stat of the game makes its return. Time to reveal tonight's stat of the game.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
This one is pretty simple for me. If you listened to the pregame show, I talked about this with Ben Bruss. We talked about this yesterday as well on these airwaves on Bucks in 30. In the last three games, the Bucks' opponents had scored 78 points off of turnovers. That is not good. 20-plus points in each of those three games. The Bucks, of course, won only one of those games, which they still gave up 20 points to the opposition. It was 20 exactly to the New York Knicks. You had 27 that you gave up in there, 31 that you had given up as well. It was an ugly showing for points off of turnovers that the Bucks had given up to their opponents the last couple of games here. Tonight, points off of turnovers. The Bucks turned the ball over 9 times. The Washington Wizards turned that into just 8 points. So you go from 26 a game that you were giving up on average to just 8 points tonight. Look, you got to start somewhere. As we said, you got to win. You got to take it one game at a time. They improved their rebounding. They cut down the turnovers, and they made sure the Wizards weren't turning those into a bevy of points, limiting to just 8 points off of turnovers in tonight's win. 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. The question of the night, are you more frustrated, or has it moved past frustration, and do you have concern over what we've seen now from the Bucks for these 53 games? And look, I'll start. I'm frustrated. My level of concern isn't going to rise, and I haven't even had any concern yet. I'm not going to be concerned until we get to the All-Star break, until we get to the end of February. And you continue to see play like this. If you continue to see 10 games that the Bucks have in the month of February, 4 of them are on the road. They're all coming up in the next week here on this 4-game road trip. But the Bucks came into February having played 52 games. You play 10 games in Feb, which means by the time February is over, the Bucks will have played 62 games. My level of concern will start to rise, and I will be concerned if we move into March, and after 62 games, we're talking about a Bucks team that's 37-25, 36-26, somewhere in that range. If the Bucks don't go 7-3, 8-2 in this month, if they don't look like the Bucks we're used to seeing, then I'll start to be concerned. 7-8 in January, moderately concerning. It's jarring to see the Bucks have a losing month. when you play a full slate of basketball games. They've had losing months before, but it's been 1-2 or 2-3, 3-5 in that month, technically 3-4 in the month that they played in the bubble. But to have a full month, a full slate of games, 15 games, and a losing month, you just got the sense this was a wake-up call and this was something that the team needed. So my concern isn't there yet, but if you play close to 500 again in this month, then it's fair to say, okay, now the concern is starting to rise. Greg, concerned or frustrated?
Frustrated for everything that you listed. Again, we've seen it before. We've seen the numbers. We know what they're capable of doing. We know that we're capable of defense they're playing. We know the capabilities of them getting in the paint and shooting much better than they have. Now, today, obviously being the outlier compared to the last two games, being that they shot better. Not great, but better. Yeah, it's more frustrated based on the body of work that they have done last season. Now, you can tell me if I'm off base for that, if I'm kind of grasping on holding on to straws, but it seems like a pretty credible argument, given that it resulted in a championship.
Well, I mean, I guess here's the other thing. I would be concerned if you had somebody in the East that was just running away. If the Brooklyn Nets, granted, Kevin Durant's hurt, and Kevin Durant may not be back until mid-March, it sounds like. Or March, I should say. Kyrie Irving, as we know, can't play in home games as of right now. The Bulls have started to get hammered with injuries. The 76ers, to me, are the most intriguing team out there moving towards the All-Star break and especially the trade deadline here. But the point being, there's no one running away with the Eastern Conference. So that's another reason I'm not ultra concerned right now, because there isn't a team like we've seen the Bucks in recent years, the Raptors in recent years, the Sixers last year, the Nets last year. Last year it was the Bucks, the Nets, and the Sixers that were just blowing everybody out, running away with things. Yes, the Bucks got a little stale and stagnant at times right up until this part of the schedule last year, but then they really turned things on, and in the second half, they were a much different team. The Brooklyn Nets played the same way. The Sixers played the same way. It went down to the wire to see who's going to finish with the best regular season record. And then once we saw that final week, okay, it's going to be Philadelphia, it went down to the final day to see who's going to be 2-3 in the East. In other words, who's going to have home court advantage between the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets in that inevitable series. You haven't had that this year. The Bulls started out really well. They've continued to play pretty good. They had a couple of rough patches, but that largely due to injuries that have started to mount with this team. The Sixers started strong, then dropped off a little bit, but now here come the 76ers. The Miami Heat, pretty similar story. They started playing pretty well. They dealt with a lot of injuries. Bam Adebayo out. Kyle Lowry's been in and out of the lineup. Jimmy Butler's been in and out of the lineup. And now Miami's starting to play much better. The Cavs have just not gone away. You have the Bucks and the Nets lurking and lingering near the bottom of those teams outside the play-in tournament. Again, they're 5-6 right now in the Eastern Conference. But when you say, hey, the Bucks are fifth, the instant reaction is, what the heck is wrong with the Bucks? They won the title last year. How are they fifth right now? And then the follow-up is, yeah, they're a game and a half back of the Bulls, who right now lead the conference. That's the other reason why I'm not ultra concerned right now, because even amid these struggles, the Bucks are still a game and a half out of first place in the conference. Yes, it's three games in the loss column, but a game and a half out of first place in the Eastern Conference. So despite these struggles, despite these inconsistencies, they're still right there. And these next 9 days, 8 days up to the trade deadline, this is going to be pretty big and tell us a lot, not only about the Bucks, but I think most importantly, this is going to tell us a lot about the conference, depending on what the Philadelphia 76ers do. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More frustrated or more concerned, which side do you fall on 53 games into the season now for the Bucks? When we return, just how wrong did I get the Eastern Conference standings as I predicted they would be on February 1st? We'll jump into the time machine and replay that clip after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
DiVincenzo puts up a long three. Can't get it. Giannis with the offensive board, though. Trying to power it up amongst three players. He's going to have to get rid of it. Beats back out. Connaughton sets and fires from three. Can't hit. DiVincenzo with an athletic play to go airborne and tip that one right back up and in.
7 points off the bench tonight from Dante DiVincenzo, 7 of the 17. Felt like at halftime the Bucks were trending towards, hey, maybe this will be a game where the bench scores a decent amount. 14 at the half, but they finished with 17. But again, they finished with more points than the Wizards, and that's the most important part in tonight's 112-98 victory. 800-855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. If you want to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk, more frustrated or concerned with these 53 games. Let's head out to Hartford and talk with Jeff. Thanks for holding, Jeff. You're on Bucks Talk.
Yeah, I think it's more frustration than concern. I think their record would be much better, you know, if we didn't have to deal with COVID. I mean, let's face it, the big three have all sat out at some point. And I know all teams have had to deal with it too, but I think the Bucks record would be much better. My concern would come in if there's a big injury. I just don't think, even if they're a fifth seed, I don't think there's too many teams that could beat the Bucks in a seven-game series or a five-game series, for that matter. There's not too many teams that could match the physicalness and the and let's face it, Giannis. There's not too many teams that have a Giannis, so I would ride the Bucks.
I'm with you there. Thanks for the call, Jeff. That look, I trust these three players in the playoffs more than I trust the Cavaliers, more than I trust the Bulls, more than I trust this current construction of the 76ers. To me, it still boils down to the Bucks, the Miami Heat, and the Brooklyn Nets. And look, for the same reasons that we're saying, I'm not concerned yet with the Bucks, and I'm not willing to write them off and say, hey, what's wrong with them? We can't have a double standard and say, well, the Brooklyn Nets are in trouble. I mean, the Nets have had the same amount of issues as the Bucks, if not more. They still know Kyrie Irving can only play in half of their games. Kevin Durant is going to miss more time than anybody outside of Brook Lopez has missed for the Bucks this season. James Harden has been in and out of the lineup. I mean, they do have some other fit issues that are clear there. They have some players that have taken some clear steps backwards that really aren't the same guys we anticipated seeing or that they got the production from last year. Think about the boost that Bruce Brown gave them and just what Blake Griffin was able to do in that Bucks series. They haven't gotten those same pieces to fall into place. Patty Mills has been good. Blake Griffin hasn't played a whole lot for the team. He's playing now because of injuries. Paul Millsap hasn't really been the guy that they expected him to be. So there's minor concerns there, but ultimately you still have Kevin Durant and James Harden, and you're going to have Kyrie Irving for half of those games. So we can't write off what Brooklyn is doing either. It's still those three teams that I would put at the top of the heap with the Bucks, the Nets, and the Heat. Now, to Jeff's point, yes, it's been injuries and it's been COVID that the Bucks have dealt with, but at this point, with what we've seen from January on, the Bucks aren't really towards the top of the list in terms of teams that can point to injuries and say, this really defines what we've seen recently. I mean, you can put Miami in there ahead of the Bucks. They're still playing on and off without guys like Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry. They just got Bam Adebayo back, who was out for an extended period of time. The Bulls are certainly dealing with injuries a lot more than the Bucks are right now. It's not an injury, but similar to what the Bucks are facing with Brook Lopez, the 76ers haven't had Ben Simmons all season long. And in terms of their offensive and defensive value, Brook Lopez has more offensive value right now than Ben Simmons. But they're pretty similar on the defensive end in terms of their value. Ben Simmons is a better individual defender than Brook Lopez, and he can defend more positions than Brook Lopez. But that's a big miss for the 76ers. The Bucks' issue has been that injury to Brook Lopez. And if you did not realize before this season just how good and how important Brook Lopez was, I think you got glimpses of it last season when we rushed to judgment and said, what's wrong with Brook Lopez in February, in early March? And like, man, Brook Lopez seems like he's taken a step backward. Coach Budenholzer was the first to point out, look, I think Brook's just a guy that he needs a little bit of time off. And in the second half of the season, Brook Lopez was much better. Brook Lopez looked rejuvenated. Brook Lopez looked like the guy we got used to seeing the previous 2 years here in Milwaukee. In the playoffs, the same thing happened. You look at the start of the Nets series, and it was, I don't know if you can play Brook Lopez in this series. Same thing happened to the Atlanta Hawks series. Brook Lopez came up with a big couple of moments in Game 5 in Milwaukee that sent it to an elimination game in Atlanta. Brook Lopez was big in the clutch in Game 6. He played well in big moments in the semifinals against the Brooklyn Nets as well. So you really saw, okay, this is, you know, he may not be to the point where he's a 35-minute player and we have him on the floor at all times, but in those moments, you need Brook Lopez. And to me, the biggest thing that stands out about this season is the absence of Brook Lopez means the Bucks aren't really a chameleon as a team this year. You know, we talked about last year what was so big for this team was they were able to play a number of different ways, offensively and defensively, and especially once you got P.J. Tucker in the mix, they could play so many different ways. You could play big. You could play with Giannis and Brook in the front court. We saw at times Giannis, Brook, and Bobby Portis on the floor together. You could play small with Giannis and P.J. Tucker in the lineup that we saw the Bucks really ride to a championship. You could bring on P.J. Tucker and Brook Lopez on the floor. They could do so many different things. This year, because Brook Lopez is gone and because some of that depth eroded, especially with the absence of P.J. Tucker, we knew coming into the season, I still like the talent here. On paper, I still think the Bucks are the best team, certainly in the Eastern Conference, probably in basketball. But, man, if an injury occurs in the front court, they could be in trouble. And it didn't take very long. It was game two where you were already without Brook Lopez. You haven't seen him since game one. And early in that season, Brook's out, Bobby's out, Giannis is out, where you're leaning on Sandro Mamukelashvili. You're leaning on DeMarcus Cousins. That, to me, has been the biggest issue. It's easy to point to Brook and say, yeah, well, we're down a starter, so that's been a huge loss. It has. But it's the fact that it's changed how the Bucks can play, that you can't play as many different ways as you could have a season ago. That's been the biggest blow that this team has suffered so far this season, especially with the injuries. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. More frustrated or concerned with what you've seen from the Bucks for these 53 games this season? When we return, just how wrong did I have it? We'll replay my predictions for what the standings would look like yesterday on February 1st. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Underneath, kicks it to the corner. Open three from Bobby Portis. Not this time. Giannis snatches in the rebound. Hands it off to Portis. And there's your triple-double as he lays it in up close. And the Bucks go ahead by six. Timeout, Washington.
That baseline feed to Bobby Portis gave Giannis the triple-double. But his best pass of the night came on the 11th and final assist, a no-look bounce pass to Chris Middleton on the perimeter for a knockout punch three as the Bucks beat the Wizards tonight, 112-98. The question remains, are you more concerned or frustrated with these 53 games of Bucks basketball? Look, for me and Greg, we've said frustration. We've heard from a caller from Jeff saying frustration as well. You can be concerned, it's fair to say. Look, my concern hinges on Brook Lopez. If he can't return, then I'm concerned. I would be in that camp with you. For all the reasons we just pointed to, we've seen, as constructed right now, if Brook Lopez doesn't come back, unless this team is able to acquire somebody via a trade or the buyout market, they can only really play one way. Now, that one way leans on Drew Holiday and Chris and Giannis. And we've seen in the 25 games that trio has played together, they've won 20 of them. but I'd still like to have some other options and some other versatility that the Bucks could go to here, especially in the playoffs. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. One last point on that record for the trio. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, this was... Oh, boy, I got to see when the exact date was here, Greg. It was mid-December, December 12th, in the midst of the Bucks again with this up and down. And really, it's tough to point to a stretch other than that mid-November to early December stretch of scheduling where the Bucks had the 8-game win streak, and we thought, okay, here we go. This is going to be what we anticipated seeing. But December 12th is when this was made. The Bucks were 18-10. They had back-to-back wins. They would go on to lose to the Boston Celtics and lose three of their next four games, leading into another win streak here for the team. But on December 12th, we were kind of in a similar spot. 8 games above .500. There was some growing frustration of, why have the Bucks already lost 10 games? And it prompted me to say, look, I get it. There's been some cute stories we've already seen this season, but when we fast forward and fall on February 1st, here's what things will look like. How wrong was I? I'm playing Nostradamus today, Evan, because look, maybe it'll start later this week. Pretty soon the conversation is going to shift to, hey, you know, the MVP is either Giannis or Steph Curry this year. One of those two guys. That's it. That's the list. Nobody else is invited to the party. The other thing I'm playing Nostradamus on for you. So we talked about the Bucks schedule and how easy this gets. Knock on wood. Brooklyn has a more difficult schedule. It's not super difficult either. But in the short term, it's a relatively easy schedule that the Nets have. I asked 1 week from today, who's going to be leading the Eastern Conference? Because it's continued to build here. I still think the Nets are going to be leading the conference 1 week from today. But where to keep an eye out there is really 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Once you get into January, too, that's where things are going to start to really flip. Mm. I will tell you right now, on February 1st, let's mark this. We'll save this. We'll revisit on February 1.
Mm.
On February 1st, the top four, the standings in the Eastern Conference, will read as follows. Okay, are you ready? At fourth, the Chicago Bulls will be 29-22 on February 1. 9 players in the league's health and safety protocols. Yikes. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are in that group. Bulls have played very well defensively, but that is a lot to overcome. Look what happened with the Bucks. And with 6-8. Bulls have 24 games on the schedule between now and February 1. I think 12-12 is their best case scenario with that amount of players that are expected to miss some significant time. The Miami Heat will be 31-21. Game and a half up on the Bulls. 4.5 games back of the Brooklyn Nets, who are going to be 35-16, and the Bucks on February 1 will be 36-16, leading the Eastern Conference by a half game on the Nets. So there you can see we're starting to get the separation. Bucks and the Nets are the top two. It's going to be 4-5 games that separate the Heat, a couple of games that separate the Bulls, and then everybody's going to fall into place there. But go do whatever you had planned. You cannot pay attention to the NBA. Just listen to the radio broadcasts. And on February 1,
yes,
we crack this thing back open. Bucks are going to be 36-16.
All right, so there are only two teams in the league that have won 36 or more games, and neither of those two teams reside in the Eastern Conference. That would be the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors. The Grizzlies not far behind at 35-18. But, all right, so I had...
There is one point you got pretty correct. There is one point.
Yes, yes. There is one team I pretty much nailed.
Practically.
I said the Heat would be 31-21. They're at the time that I said February 1. So they were 32 They're 32-20 right now. So I was correct. A game off of there. I basically nailed the Heat. The Bulls, not so much. They're 32-18 right now. The Nets, buddy. The Nets are staring 29-21 in the face, which is basically the record I predicted for the Chicago Bulls. And the Bucks at 36-16. Now, what's worse, Greg? The Eastern Conference standings, I predicted a Bucks, Nets, Heat, Bulls, completely not inviting the 76ers or the Cavs to the party and whiffing pretty hardcore on those two teams, or the preamble at the top of the standings prediction where I said it is going to be Giannis and Steph Curry only in the MVP discussion, when in fact it feels like it's going to be Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid only in that conversation.
I will give you the it's not a qualifier. I will give you the padding, I guess, of no one in the world would say the Cavs would be number four on February 1st in mid-December. So I'll give you that one. So I'm going to go with, if we're talking worse of the two, the preamble before made this bit, honestly. So I don't think you should beat yourself up too much about it.
I'm an optimist, as anybody that knows me would certainly attest. The fact that I nailed the Miami Heat record, I think that's proof enough for me that I know what I'm doing here. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text line. Frustrated or concerned? More of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, cause I'm on my way. I can feel my ring coming. It's the blood of a champion.
A lob pass into Giannis, all in one motion. He will lay it in on an alley-oop. And Milwaukee pulls back to within one, needing points and, even more importantly, of late, needing stops.
Bucks beat the Wizards here at Fiserv Forum, 112-98. More frustrated or more concerned with these 53 games we have seen from the Bucks? 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text line. A couple of minutes left on the show. Let us head back out to the phone lines. Who do we got, Greg?
Mike in Shorewood on the line for you.
Mike in Shorewood. You're up on Bucks Talk. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm
going to say somewhat perturbed. Nothing's easy for this team, man. Right now, even a team like the Wizards coming in struggling, they've lost, what, five in a row? It just, for some reason, this Bucks team this year is really struggling. They beat the elite teams, and they really struggle with these subpar teams they should beat at home, on the road. So I'm hoping this is just a phase they're going through, because it's hard to repeat. I understand you still got that championship glow, but these other guys, everybody outside of Giannis, really need to really pick up the pace here. Tonight, even, you know, they finally took care of business, and congrats to Giannis on surpassing MJ, which I'm surprised that MJ didn't have that many triple-doubles in his career, but nonetheless, tip of the cap to him. All he does is set records. I'm hoping this road trip here, they really start to lock in and get focused, and luckily for them that nobody in the East is pulling away. With all the ups and downs and turvy-turvy of the season, they're only a game and a half out for the top seed against the Chicago or the Heat, who are bouncing back and forth. So that's an added plus here to me. I think the Bucks are still on paper the best team in the East, but they're not playing like it right now. On this road trip here, what are you expecting? I'm looking at this trip. This is a trip minimum, bare minimum. You should lose one game. Phoenix right now obviously is playing the best basketball in the league, but the rest of these teams, both LA teams, are really slumping. Portland's out of it pretty much now without Lillard. And I'm just looking at that overall. Do you think this right here, this road trip in this final stretch of the quarter of the season, they really pick it up here, starting with this road trip with a bunch of winnable games, and hopefully maybe that Phoenix game, that's maybe a possible another rematch with the way Phoenix is playing best basketball in the league. What are your thoughts on that? And take it again, salute to Giannis on passing Jordan. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Mike. I'm assuming as well, maybe you can be the clarifier on this, Greg. Perturbed is, I know what the definition of perturbed is. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm assuming for Mike, perturbed is a combination of, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm fully frustrated. I wouldn't say I'm fully concerned either. which I'll allow here. Look, for a team that struggled the way the Bucks have to find consistency, I'm not to the point yet where I would expect a 3-1 road trip, especially when it's places that have traditionally been difficult to win. That being said, you have to go 500. You should go 3-1. You have to go 2-2. If you have a losing road trip, then it starts to move past perturbed for me. As he said, the Blazers are pretty close to waving the white flag. Kind of similar to this Washington Wizards team who are playing without Bradley Beal. They just announced the other day, hey, everything is open for business. We are trading anything we can. The Blazers are pretty close to that level as well. Right now, they're in the play-in tournament. But if you're Portland, realistically, you win the play-in, you get a 7 or an 8 seed here. It means you play the Warriors or the Suns in the first round. Playoff gate and that revenue, it's not anything to scoff at, especially to owners in the league. But what's the upside there? To be swept by the Phoenix Suns, to be swept by the Golden State Warriors, or maybe the Memphis Grizzlies if they keep playing like this. You're not winning a series. Does not it make more sense to sell pieces that you can and just rebuild? Injuries have started to pile up for the Blazers as well. You're not going to be facing Damian Lillard in that game on Saturday night. On Sunday, you get the Clippers. I don't have any inside information, obviously. I'm under the assumption that the way things have gone and the way the Clippers have been pretty mum on everything with their players, I'm not ruling out that Paul George does not return this season. Kawhi Leonard's not going to play this season, especially if the Clippers keep sliding in the standings. Right now, the Clippers are in the play-in tournament as well. I don't think you can rule out those two players not playing again. Certainly not going to see them in that game on Sunday. So if you tell me, okay, you have the Blazers, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Suns. And oh, by the way, you're not going to see Damian Lillard. We don't think you're going to see Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. We don't think you're going to see LeBron James in that Lakers game. And the Lakers have not been good either. They're ninth. You have 10-9-8-1 in the Western Conference in those four games. You have to win two of those games. You should win three of those games. And that Suns game, if that doesn't motivate you, and I know it's the regular season, but if you don't get up for that, Phoenix is going to be up for that. If that doesn't motivate you and bring something out of you, then you start to move a little bit past the, I'm just frustrated. That's why we pointed to this four-game trip and said, this is going to tell me a lot about this team. Because if they disappoint and they go 1-3, then it's fair to start to wave past frustration and into full-on, I have some concerns here. These are the only road games the Bucks are going to have in the month of February. You get 10 games total. You just played your first. You have the four-game road trip. So it starts Saturday. It wraps up the following Thursday. And then you close out the month of February with the Portland Trail Blazers back at home. The Indiana Pacers, who have been the third worst team in basketball basically this season, at home. Sixers and Nets, the game before and the game after the All-Star break, at home against the Sixers, at home against the Nets, and then the Charlotte Hornets to wrap things up. So to me, in what you have between now and February 17th, you really got to make hay while the sun is still shining here. In those four games out west, the two additional games here prior to the All-Star break, prior to that matchup before the All-Star break with the Sixers, I would love to see five wins in those games. I will settle for four wins. Because as soon as you move to that final game before the break, Sixers, Nets, Hornets, Heat, Bulls, Suns, those are your next six games. You cannot mess around and continue to play 500 when you have that schedule staring you in the face. And again, in March, nine games on the road. The majority of those road games in March are against really, really good teams. We just told you. Chicago Bulls is one of those games. Golden State Warriors is one of those games. Utah Jazz were even worse than the Bucks in January. That's still been a house of horrors and a very, very difficult place for the Bucks to play throughout the history of their franchise. You're in Utah. You're in Memphis. You're in Philadelphia. You're in Brooklyn. That is a brutal stretch of schedule in March. So this stretch in front of the Bucks, the way they approach this road trip and everything they have up until that Sixers game, is going to tell me a lot about this team, because the margin for error starts to get lesser and lesser. The positive is they won tonight, and they're only a game and a half back of the Chicago Bulls for the best record in the Eastern Conference. 3 days off. 3 days off. Yes, do not look for Bucks basketball tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday. They return to the floor Saturday night in Portland. 9 o'clock tip-off against the Trailblazers. 8:30 is when our coverage will begin. And of course, as soon as the game wraps up, you can find us right back here with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. My thanks to Greg Hill and all of you for listening. We'll talk to you Saturday night with more Bucks Talk.